Hi, folks. This is Mike J. I'm producing a video here that basically will become part of our TPOV, which stands for Teachable Point of View series. Because I had some questions in the R&D process, I thought it might be better to take more time to kind of go through this idea of actionable advice, which you'll see on the webpage. I put a lot of information there for you. I'm choosing this as an example. It just makes a good example because it's really a well-done book, and anybody who wrote 65 lessons to their kids is a hero in my book. So don't take it that I'm going to be taking this apart. Don't take it as criticism of the quality and the value of this book. At the same time, you can read about the author, Anthony Pompliano, I think that's how you say his name. And the book is called How to Live an Extraordinary Life, which really attracted my attention. And what I did was, after I read the book jacket and stuff, I developed this process. You'll see it down there. It says, My Process Using AI. So there was the book. And then there was a professional firm that does abstracts and summarizes the book down to, like, I don't know, sometimes 5 to 8 pages. I wasn't exactly sure on this one. And what I did was I dropped that in ChatGPT and I said, look, you know, just give me the takeaways. And I just wanted this as an example. In fact, I'm promoting the book. It's actually a good book. I'm just going to show you how different the Lead You Way is contrasted with general ways of doing things and how we have grown up versus what we're trying to shift in much more of a paradigmatic way. This whole idea of things are much more natural than they would assume. I'm still finding ways to talk about this, just like Robert Sapolsky is finding ways to talk about the fact that there's no free will. So we both have a heck of a job in front of us. In his recent book, A Summary by Get Abstract of How to Live an Extraordinary Life, which is then summarized by ChatGPT 4.0 into takeaways from my lecture on living an ordinary but generative life. The idea is that we don't have to live extraordinarily. We don't have to be great. What we really do is just have to stay on purpose. And that means finding out what that purpose is. And that means using natural cues, scaffolding, support, and lift to get there. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through this process of how I look at things and begin to show you that most of this falls under what Argyris calls, and in a probably not as well read book as it should have been, called Flawed Advice in the Management Trap. At the end or during this process, I've given you some quotes that he made, some ideas that he made, and I'll talk about our abbreviations of his criteria and stuff for creating actionable versus flawed advice. But Flawed Advice in the Management Trap, 2000, Chris Argyris, he's gone now, but wow, what a legacy. What a legacy. Here's the summary. The thing about AI, which I'm going to continue to stress that people learn to use, it's like the first time word processors came out. I'm that old. People would not use them. It's like typing and keyboarding. You know, my mother, when I was in eighth grade, my mother forced me to go to typing class. You know, and that for boys, that was just not something that you did. In fact, the class I went to in the summer of, I don't know, maybe 62 or 3, somewhere around there. They were all girls. It was absolutely the best idea my mother has ever had and the best summer I ever had, being the only boy and all those girls. It was really a wonderful, wonderful process, as you might imagine. So I learned to type and type pretty fast. But most of the rest of the people weren't learning to type at that time, just like when keyboarding came around, people weren't learning keyboarding. And now AI comes and people are saying, oh, you know, it's different. It's hard to use. You know, ChatGPT, they say it's hallucinates and it's crazy and all that sort of stuff. And yes, and that's all true, but you should try to use it because I whipped that book down into a few takeaways, and I looked at them and I said, well, those are really great takeaways, but they only fit 3, 4, 5% of the population. So what can we do to up that ante? Well, that's what I want to talk about. So before I slice and dice these takeaways for illustration of how the Lead You Way is different, because of a fundamental paradigmatic assumptions analysis. In other words, what's happening there is a paradigm shift, and it's gonna, like Jerry Clower said, it's gonna cook us mostly in the squat, and we're not ready for it. So we're not ready. We ain't got enough stuff to bake this baby, and a lot of us are gonna go by the wayside. So what I'm telling you, for those of you of my vintage, and certainly anybody who's listening to this, start using AI, start figuring it out, start making it help you as an expert. Now, it's best when you know what it is you're doing and you put that into AI and let it confirm it, because if you don't know what you're doing and you're asking AI to come up with an answer, it will hallucinate, it will tell you things that are not true, and it lies. So you have to be careful about that. At the same time, it's an extremely valuable tool that everybody has to get used to, because it speeded up this process that I did. Like, I don't know, I would have never done it otherwise. It'd been too hard. Take too much time. We don't have time. AI is going to shorten that time investment for us. Really going to help, as long as we check it, make sure it's okay. So here are the takeaways. We'll try to get a space in there so we can see the takeaways. Living an extraordinary life begins with paying attention to small details. Okay. If it's not natural, then energy and information, which our details, are required to cope and adapt with unnatural CCR. Okay, what am I saying? Well, basically, we have these requirements that are given to us because we breathe, essentially. As you get older, you breathe different, you breathe the same, but you have different requirements. So what we're talking about, CCR, was a favorite band of mine way back in the young, so I keep using that to remember culture, conditions, and requirements. That's extremely important that you remember that, because our nature continuously faces requirements that are created by the conditions in the culture. You have to understand that. In other words, the reasons why we do cope and adapt are not because of will, not because of discipline, but because of our nature. Because you got to remember, a lot of people do not cope. A lot of people do not adapt. Why? Don't they see the culture, conditions, and requirements, and the gap that's being produced between their nature and them? Well, they won't do it, because they're not wound like that. And once we get to this idea of attributing cause and effect differently in terms of the nature of things versus what we could do, in other words, it's not what we can do, it's what we will do over and over and over again, that takes an ordinary life and makes it into a life worth living, a generative life. So that's the important thing. The next thing he says, build good habits to help you. And I'll put together this kind of composite as I go through these things, just pointing out some few things, because we don't want to take a lot of time doing this, but I did want to spend more time than just saying, hey, look at these takeaways. Doesn't make sense for most of the people, so don't follow it. Okay, I'm not saying that. Some people will make a lot of sense too. A few of these will make a lot of sense, but most of them, nobody's going to follow. Just like Stephen Covey wasn't able to do anything with his 7 habits. They taught the heck out of that thing, and today kids don't even know that existed. What happened? Well, because it wasn't natural. He did a composite. He researched 200 years of the wisdom literature and found these things to be true, and they are. The only thing is, they're a composite. A composite means the things put together, they're not natural. They're only natural for some people. And therefore, if you try to teach them to other people, the be like Mike game, you can't do it, because they're not motivated and they won't stay motivated. And while they can show competence, they can show expertise, they won't, over a period of time, do the necessary things for the compounding of the learning to cause them to be able to monetize it. That's the important thing as we go forward today. It's going to be very difficult, folks. I hate to say it. I hate to be this Christmas season and all that sort of stuff. I hate to be the Grinch, but it is going to be difficult to monetize much, because AI is going to come in and change everything. And consequently, the demand for you without AI is going to be very low unless you're a real skilled guy. I met some guys at Electric Boat one time. They're the ones who build our submarines, and those guys can weld anything. They can weld underwater, weld upside down, weld anything. And there's a demand for those guys. Trust me, that's why we can't make submarines and boats very fast, is because we lost all those guys and we didn't retrain the new ones. So, and we told them that, but at the same time, that's, you know, that's what's happened. So consequently, we're losing tremendous amount of wisdom in a lot of areas, but AI is picking up the slack and all the things that you used to be able to do, including sweeping out a garage or the, being the janitor at the prison or all those kind of things. That's all going to be done by robots and AI. So you're going to have to change your thinking in terms of what you're going to be able to offer in terms of monetizing. And while you're doing that, one of my pet projects is to get people on purpose, because you want to live your life on purpose. You do have a wired in purpose from nature. You got to figure out what that is. Do some self-knowledge work, do some other work, and then you'll figure out what to say yes and no to, which I wrote a book about 10, 12 years ago. The idea of saying yes and no are the most important things. That's what selects you into these issues where you need more money, or you made a loan and you didn't work out and all those, and now you're under pressure and all that kind of stuff. So that stuff's coming along. Build good habits to help you complete essential tasks every day. Well, Covey tried this, and like I said, was found wanting due to the composite nature of these kinds of habits. You might do one really well, that might be in your nature. The rest of them be really hard, so you can't do all the things that you're needed. That's the same thing with the extraordinary life. Forget about an extraordinary life. Lead an ordinary life on purpose. You'll be extraordinary. I don't know if you can get that nuance, that counterintuitive shift, but that everybody's leading us, not everybody, most people are leading us down the wrong path because it's marketing, because it's neuroscience, because it's all this stuff. They will not, and there is a problem with recognizing the fact that we are by nature wired a particular way to both select stimuli, have particular emotions, do certain kinds of reasoning, all that sort of stuff. Got to figure out what that is. And that's the idea. Don't settle for being better than the worst. Instead, strive to be the best. Well, I just don't agree with that at all. My travel and experience led to entirely different conclusions. So what that person is showing is they're showing a lot of bias. And that's one of my paradigmatics is bias. In other words, you got to understand when it's about you and when it's not about you. So don't settle for being better than the worst. Instead, strive to be the best. Only if you're an achiever. Only 30% of us in America are achievers. In the rest of the world, it's a lot lower percent, because we've gathered achievers in America. People couldn't get what they wanted, so they all came here and still coming here. We're bringing achievement motivation naturally into the United States more and more and more. That's why we're exceptional in a lot of ways. At the same time, it doesn't help anybody who's not. So the idea of being best, don't worry about that. Just be yourself. That's the key. I've told the story many times about a natural predisposition to non-ambition. I'm talking in an interview one time with Michael Commons, who I think is still alive and just did all kinds of wonderful things at Harvard. One of the three big ones, Keegan, Commons, and Fisher worked development from three different angles. And the idea was that he basically said to me one time, he says, Mike, you know what controls all that stuff is just ambition. You could test for ambition and you could tell whether or not people were going to be achievement oriented or whether they were going to just let the world go by or float down a river with no paddle or all that sort of stuff. That was a really important comment, because until that time, you know, being an achiever and having ambition, you project that. And it took me a long time, especially the last 15 years in the Philippines, to understand, oh, there are people that are naturally not ambitious. What's that like? And watching those people and studying them, you know what? They're pretty happy. In fact, I would guess they're more happy than most of us, and they don't have any ambition. So that being the better, best, great, extraordinary stuff doesn't really work a lot. Ensuring environment supports the goals. I missed a couple. Communicate immediately when things have gone wrong. I really like that, though there's only one problem. Well, at least half of us are introverts, and they don't do that. They don't have a need to express. It's just like the other day, somebody said something to me. Oh, yeah, I saw my grandson. He was got a new air rifle shooting BBs at a target. like most of us in my generation did. And he wasn't holding the air rifle correct. And I thought, maybe I should say something, you know, to my daughter and son-in-law. But I said, nah, if I say something, they'll think grandpa's this and grandpa's that. And I just didn't say it. I just said, hey, great that he's practicing. Practicing wrong, but great. So I didn't say anything about it. So I don't think that you should communicate immediately when things have gone wrong that you see, because some of us tend to be so critical that we communicate things and we nip growth and relationships at the bud. So you want to be careful what you communicate, in my view. So I don't agree with that, just from my experience. And of course, some people won't do it. So I ask introverts all the time who work with me, why didn't you say something? I don't know. Is it a good idea to do that if you enter into a business relationship and the business purpose is about that? Sure. But that's back to CCR again. You know, culture, conditions, and requirements, and that should be specified. And that's where our nature has to go up and cope and adapt with those kinds of new rules, quote unquote. When you're working, they're renting you for labor. You got to do what they say or they won't rent you. Ensure the environment supports your goals. That's one of the important things that Argyris said in one of his 4 points. And that is so critical and important. I just want to agree 100%. But at the same time, some people don't need the environment to support their goals because 15% of us don't listen, don't pay attention, won't do what we're told. I mean, you know, I are one, so I resemble that. So I can tell you that the least thing that we pay attention to is our environment. That's why we innovate, because we don't care what other people think. You know, we don't care what people will say. Some of us are like that. Not a lot, thank goodness. But again, we don't need an environment that supports our goals to do well. So again, agree, at the same time, point out that nature has a lot to say about each one of these things. And that's what I was trying to get across to the people that I was working with, the teachable point of view, because most of us will, this is not actionable advice. It's a great book. It's not actionable advice because it's like Seven Habits. It's not actionable. It's a composite. It means that if you're like this person who wrote all these things, saw all these things, processed these things for his bias, this is going to work for you. But that's only 3, 4, 5%. And a lot of you are going to be disappointed. Say, yeah, I did all those things and it didn't work. Well, that's not really what you did. What you did is what you thought you did, and you didn't do them in the way that obviously this person doesn't, because if you look at the jacket of the book and the way they do things, this is a special person. Well, give up trying to be special and just be ordinary, but have a purpose and be generative. That's the idea. Generally care about the people in your life and the things you do. Again, this is very nature specific. Some of us just don't like people. They get in the way of the ideas. They get in the way of getting things done. They get in the way of that. Is that a bad advice? It's great advice, just not actionable for a lot of people. So people will, you know, they say if you got 5 friends when you die, you've had a great life. And I'm still working on that myself. But at the same time, that's about the way it goes. So should you do that? Yes. But the shoulds all over us, all of our lives, are what's creating the stress and bad mental health in a lot of cases, and all the problems with people not being able to live ordinary but purposeful and generative lives. What makes a great Kong or narrative is that it's partly true. In other words, the point is that if something's partly true, you can make a great con, or you can get other people to believe it if you just repeat it enough. But it's not true, not a fact. It's only partly true. And this one is true. If you're naturally empathetic, compassionate, or caring, otherwise it's back to that free will again and discipline. Oh, you know, and I just say, oh my gosh, I mean, discipline for some of us, not going to happen. I mean, how many people are too fat and know it and don't lose weight? I mean, we've got a whole drug industry that says yes to that. So I don't know. Some stuff we do, some stuff we don't. It's best to align with the stuff we do, try to figure out the design from there. Acquiring as much knowledge as you can helps you make the best decisions. This is the best attribute for curiosity. The only problem is very few people are curious. Most people just want to learn what they need to learn and go on. They're not curious. They're not worried about rabbit holes. They're not worried about going here, going there. Yeah, there's Hayek said, Friedrich Hayek wrote in economics, you got to keep things free so 15% of the people who aren't curious can do and innovate and raise society up. I do believe that. At the same time, telling most people to learn is boring. That's why telling you to do AI, if you're not already motivated or don't understand the reason, you're not going to do it. Is it a good idea? Probably. Will you do it? No, just like eating better food and make you skinny. True. Exercise is good for you. Yeah. But, you know, if you don't have to and you're not motivated to do it, you won't. So let's be real. You know, I had a friend one time developed a program, said, you know, if you can't be real, let's not do it. There's a lot more to say as we add other paradigmatic, metasystematic, systematic, formal, and concrete assumptions about the lead you way. Just back those down from most complex to least complex if you're looking at hierarchical complexity. But that's the thing that we need to do. And need also need a space right there, because we basically, I sourced this on The Professional Edge, which I wrote, I don't know, 30, no, it wasn't 30, it was 20-something years ago, about Argyris, because his book came out in 2000, so what's 24 years now? I read it right when it came out. Fortunate. Two people really fortunate in 2000 for me. Well, I guess maybe a few more, but Stephen Reese with the Reese Profile, and wrote the book, Who Am I? And I ran across that in a place where we stopped to kill some time and flawed advice in the management trap, because I read the 1974 book, How to Be a Professional or something like that, which is mostly out of print. I think Georgetown has copies of it that have been reprinted. I remember getting one there a dozen years ago or so. But Chris Argyris, Flawed Advice in the Management Trap. I mean, he was my first person to help me understand why this is not working. And so actionable advice is so important, because so many of us are trusted advisors. Well, and that's what we built up. I built a whole set of models in Lead You that we can coach and advise and teach and help people sort of not go down the path that most people are going. And that is going to be contrary to their own purpose and probably somebody else's purpose. Although 3 to 5% of people want to do that. They want to use somebody else's purpose, not their own. But that's natural also. So the teachable point of view now summarized with BDX. I call it BDX. I just, for some reason, I can remember that. It just starts out with, you got to specify the right kind of behaviors that get things done. So if he says, you know, if you go back up here and says, and he probably does in the book, something like acquiring as much knowledge as you can helps you make the best decisions. I'm sure he tells you how to do that, but I bet he doesn't tell you how to do that if you don't want to do it. So you got to figure out another different design. That's the second one. So you've got the behaviors, know what they are. It's like they specify behaviors and processes and things in the gap between CCR and you as an individual and what you need to get done to cope and adapt to that gap. Well, those are the behaviors. Then you need a design, because the design's important, because if you aren't naturally wound in that particular way, you won't do it. You can do it, and they can test you, and you can do it just fine, but you won't keep doing it because you're not motivated to do that. You're motivated to watch TikTok or, you know, talk to people on a phone or whatever. So the design has to be there to make sure that the behaviors that you will do that are required are in sufficient quantity that competence yields productivity. You know, just that simple. Now, knowledge, skills, and experience, you got to have that, and we all can pick that up. If we're really motivated to do something, like I'm motivated to do this video for you. So I figured out all kinds of things that I have to do this video for you, even though 99% of them and 99% of the people around me don't want to do them. But you have to do them if you want to do a video. So the thing is, that's knowledge, skills, and experience. And then back to his environment, the system, or what I would call a step up, the meta system. And of course, the paradigm signals what the meta systems in that paradigm are going to do. So once you get to paradigm, you're kind of at a bounded, finite place, you know, where you can dissipate the energy and information and stay pretty much organizationally closed, but energetically open. Our friend Prigogine, But the idea there in the meta system, that's got to support the rest of that process. And if it doesn't support it, you're going to get what the system supports. What gets rewarded gets done. That's from our friend Michael LaBeouf way back in the 90s, talking about the greatest management principle. So you have to understand that. Now, what I did as we close this is essentially there are four basic assumptions which exist to guide the formation of dynamic inquiry. That's the inquiry that we use with this system. And these came from Chris Hargers, and I tried to give you the resources there so you can find them. What I did was is I basically took exact quotes from his material and then a couple of massage quotes that I had from Professional Edge that I'd sort of changed a few of the words, but I wanted you to see his exact words so that you really see that he did say this, and it was important because nobody that I'm aware of and that I'm coaching, unless I've been coaching them for a long time or advising them for a long time, gets this stuff. It's just counterintuitive. It's hard. Because people think that we can be all we can be. And so everybody is figuring out your dream list and your bucket list and all these things, and they're using that to be happy, and it's not going to make you happy because that's what you want, not what you need. So we at Lead You are attempting to climb the biggest hill right along that freewheel hill with Sapolsky, and it's a 500-year trek. At the same time, somebody's got to start it somewhere, and we've got to show how it works, and we've got to show how you can do it, and we've got to show all those things. And that's part of what this teachable point of view on actionable advice fits into in terms of where we're going with this process of saying, hey, the reason why we do X, Y, and Z is to create actionable advice. Actionable advice is good because people not only can do it, they will do it. Time and time again, which makes them better, which gets you into mastery that the people who wrote that book, Gladwell, wrote 10,000 hours of mastery. Well, it's just because you keep doing the same things over and over and better, and sooner or later, you sort of know how to do it, like those welders making our submarines and aircraft carriers. They know how to weld everything. The same thing, there are most of them are retired now. And we didn't spend enough time teaching people because we taught them these other newfangled ways. And when you come to a problem, it slows down because somebody didn't know how to do it. And that's why the Japanese can build a boat in 1/10 the time that the U.S. can now, because they've spent time looking at these things, these basic things, and understanding how to get them done. So we're going to have to catch up. How do we catch up? Well, we're going to have to find people who like to weld and give them a whole lot of experience pretty fast, or we ain't going to have any boats. Of course, we may not need it if we develop some missiles, so I guess, you know, that could happen. But at the same time, that's the teachable point of view. That's actionable advice. Before I get off the reservation here too far, I appreciate this is Leadership University. I'm Mike Jay, talking to you here from my holidays in the Philippines, and I thought this was important enough to make a separate video. Hope you enjoy it. Talk to you later.